Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Long Beach, to another edition of Swoop's World right here at blogtalkradio.com. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happenings here in Long Beach. Our number, if you want to call in, is 917-889-7449. You can email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Once again, you want to call in tonight, that number is 917-889-7449. Sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World. Hey, Long Beach, and welcome to another Wednesday night of Swoop's World. Peter, how's it going, brother?
Pretty good, Swoop. How's it going with you?
It's going good, man. Going good. Just been doing a few things here, and, how was your fourth?
It was okay.
Well, look, you were on vacation last week. Some of you know we were broadcasting from First Fridays, but I was broadcasting for First Fridays, and Peter actually Wednesday night even called in. He was
living a trooper, man.
Living large out there in Laguna, huh?
That was fun. We hadn't been to Ireland in a while, and I'd never spent any time in the Hotel Laguna, which is kind of an older retro type of place. Kind of remind me a lot of being out in Catalina and the older buildings there. They had their own beach and their own, which meant they also, you could sit down on the beach and get delivered a meal and some beers or whatever you wanted to order. So that was kind of nice. The weather was cool in the mornings, had sun late in the afternoon, but kind of fit the bill as far as didn't have any kids, and it was peaceful.
Oh, very good, very good. I said it was well-deserved, and I know you guys had a good time. It was probably fun, and I'm a little envious, but you did call in Wednesday night, and trotted forward on Friday night for us. And
that's right.
All things
but
are good.
For the record, by the fourth, I was already working.
That is true. That is true. If you want to give us a call, it's 917-889-7449. Join us on the chat line. We're here every Wednesday night, and we've got a lot of things to cover tonight. And we also have Chris Livingston and Taylor Nelson from LB Food Review will be dropping in shortly and kind of just joining us on the conversation and tell us what's been going on with their latest food reviews. And I see on the chat line we got Night Vision. That's Michael Knight. Peter, Michael, he changed his schedule, and I think last night was his first show, the 6th of July. It was the first of the
new
new show, and I was tied up last night, so I didn't get to check it out, but I think it's a Tuesdays and Sundays, so we'll have to check him out here in the near future. So I hope it went well, and I could check out the new format and see what's going on. But to all the Swoop's World listeners, like we say, we've always supported Michael Knight, so check him out. And also Stevie Mack. You can check out Stevie Mack Monday through Thursdays at 6 o'clock. Get your little comedy groove on. Anybody been watching the World Cup? I know you have, huh?
Yeah, it's a good game today. First half was a little slow, but it picked up. Either one of those teams, I didn't have a favorite going into it. I was really hoping that Germany would score a goal again after Spain just to make it. Either way, I was good. The only people I couldn't cheer for are the Dutch. Those guys, too much flopping on the ground.
A little flopping now and then. And then we got we broadcast right next to the airport. So that's the first plane of the night. And I think this time of year, we're going to get two more. So, bear with us. We're gonna deal with that, and it's always fun, and it helps us keep a track of what time it is. And look who's just showed up, the LB Food Review. And a better place than never, guys.
But you're busy eating dinner.
That's right. What's up, Taylor?
How you doing?
All right, Chris.
Wonderful as always.
Good. We're just talking about the World Cup and talking about the game today. It was funny. It was yesterday's game, and I thought, that guy who pulled the yellow card in the 90th minute, and then they scored on the PK, and they almost came back and tied it up. He would have been dead.
Yes, he would have.
And then it come back and won.
I was sharing with Swoop earlier today that before the show. You know how all the national teams all have a name,
right?
A nickname, right? There's an official name. There's a nickname. Like the French are the Blues and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody know what the nickname of the German team is?
Krauts.
No, no, that'd be a good guess. If the English came up with it, that would be it. No, it's the Mannschaft.
The Mannschaft.
Mannschaft. Apparently, from all I can figure out, it simply means the team. But it makes you wonder what they're thinking about when they're talking team over there.
You never know, man.
It sounds more like a Greek name to me.
I've heard of the mine shaft, and I know what goes on there.
Is that not the grossest name for a baseball? I mean,
Pistons.
I mean, Paradise fine, the Falcon are fine, but the mine shaft?
Ripples?
Ripples.
I was
like, Ripples.
Sounds like a condom. We're just jumping right in here today.
Oh, yeah. Silver Fox.
Oh, Silver Fox is self-explanatory,
yeah.
Man. Oh, man, the man shaft. All right.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a good game. And like I said, I'm happy to see either one of the teams, Spain or Germany. It turns out it'll be Spain. The Dutch is ever living in.
Sure.
So. That's my hope.
You're not putting much stock in the boys in orange, huh?
You know,
those uniforms are ugly. I know. Peter likes orange. Those uniforms
are
ugly.
Color, yeah.
Orange socks, orange shorts, orange shirts.
Well, but that's a history thing, so that makes sense.
I don't care what
but,
it is, man. Mix it up.
But just those guys, you know, my problem is I hope they lose just because I hate just – even the announcers, the last game was saying something like, I think it's a policy for the Dutch team to lie on the ground. One of the announcers actually said that during the game, or something very close to that, and I have a real problem with that. You know,
I've not gotten to see one Netherlands match yet.
Those guys,
horrible floppers.
No, they're horrible floppers. The thing is, they're good players, and they love to lay a hit. I mean, these guys probably could all play NFL, but they could all hit. They can all hit. They love to go in there and tackle and hit hard, but as soon as you breathe on them, they fall over, and it's like. I have no problem. Like the Germans lay some hits, man. But you never see them ever whining or crying or flopping on the ground. But the Dutch.
I saw one of the Dutch guys get taken out on a slide tackle. Now, you know, it was okay. It wasn't didn't look like it was that. But then he grabbed his shin guard, man. Come on. One place you have protection on the soccer field. I'm like, give me a break.
Yeah.
And when the ref shook it off, he just popped back up running down the field.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was like watching Vladdy Divac play for the Lakers.
I'm telling you, man. At least Vladdy draw a foul every now and then. Oh, man. So you're picking? Who are you picking?
I definitely think I thought either Spain or Germany was the better team to beat the Dutch, and so I'm going with Spain. I think the Dutch are good, but I thought today was the best two teams played in the whole final. So today for me was the final.
Well, look, I'm just recommending nobody run down to the OTB based on what Peter says.
Yeah.
He's been wrong this whole.
Hey, but have you guys heard about Paul the Octopus?
Yeah.
I want to know what he's picking. Whatever he's picking is where I'm putting my money.
He's undefeated, man.
Yeah,
undefeated.
That's a crazy story.
Yeah.
That's a crazy story, man.
It is a crazy story. I watched it and he said, oh, he picked Spain. I'm like, yeah, all right.
And, you know, yesterday on German television, it was carried by two or three news stations live. You know, that was.
Are you kidding me?
No, it was that big a deal. And of course, you know, the results that Germany was going to lose was not, you know, well received apparently, and then it did actually end up losing. So kind of interesting, man. I don't know what's up with that octopus, but I'm wondering if they're going to have him pick between the two finalists, because wherever he goes, that's where I'm going.
I'm going with the octopus.
He's obviously got a better sense than I.
Oh, man. All right, man. And I even Facebooked that we wouldn't talk about this, and we're not going to talk about it, but having the whole nation watching that as bad as being forced to watch that guy starring Lindsay Lohan trial on TV the other day. But that's all we're going to say about Lindsay Lohan, because I don't want to get into that. Let's move on.
I got her confused with Paris. I thought she'd already been to jail. Apparently not.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All the
same. No,
we're not going to talk about it.
I was talking about Paris Hilton.
I'm trying to keep on track.
Yeah, yeah. Keep it smoking.
Keep it
smoking. Hey, a little bit of the local politics, man. I see that Councilman Garcia Lowenthal and I think it's DeLong have proposed, or they're bringing to the council agenda to move from 3 meetings a month to 2 meetings a month. And apparently they used to be 4 meetings a month. And I don't live in Shipsky's district. I really never thought much about it. I mean, I thought much about her, period, because I didn't really know anything about her. But I've been reading some of the stuff she's been doing lately on some of these issues that popped up. And she says she's going to put a proposal before the people on the November ballot, if this goes through, that the city council take a 50% pay reduction because their pay was based on 4 meetings a month. They're only doing 3 meetings a month, and these guys want to reduce it to 2 meetings a month. What are your thoughts on?
I kind of like that. I give her credit for that. Now, the one thing I will say, though, unless this has changed, you and I have talked about this a few times. I mean, council women, men in Long Beach only get paid really kind of part-time wages. I mean, they don't get paid.
It's a part-time job.
It's a part-time job. So,
but they have full-time staffers.
But they have full-time staffers. Quite a ton of money. Not a ton, but they make a decent living. And so I kind of go, like, yes, I like Shipsky's idea, but at the same time, you know, this is a big city. You should pay your council people like you would pay
But here's the thing. Here's we've had this discussion before. I do think they deserve to be paid more, but you take that job knowing what the pay is.
True enough.
Okay, and so when you take, it's just like the president gets with like $100,000 a year or something like that. And if you're working a Fortune 500 company, you know, you're working, you know, way above that. So it's the same thing. You choose to take that job. You know what the pay is.
Right.
Nobody forced you in the running for city council. And the people expect you to do the people's business. Now, what a lot of people are saying is one of the reasons they want to reduce it is so there's less input from the constituents. Because, one needs a lot of
sure.
time for discussion, which apparently a lot of the complaints are, a lot of discussions are being cut off by the mayor. I don't know, this would be a fact, but that's the complaints. And, if you're going to, why are you reducing the meetings? I mean, they're talking about the budget of the city, is in the toilet, and this is in the toilet, and we need to do this, we need to do that. Sounds like there's more work to do, and they want to do it with less.
Right. Well, you and I have been to a few council meetings, and
they're long,
tedious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Forever. So it's like
if you reduce the amount of meetings, they have,
yeah.
it'll be even longer.
I mean, I'm not somebody that wants to attend too many of those meetings, but the ones I've been to, two or three of them, and the ones I've been to. I mean, it's not like it seems like people are sitting around doing nothing. They're getting there's stuff that needs to be done. It's a big city. There are big city issues. It seems to me that cutting back there just doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense.
I'd like to see those people make more money based on the performance. I think they should make more money as a overall. I think it's a big job, so they should get some more money. But at the same time, I definitely don't think you should be reducing the number of. City council meeting, and if you're going to do that, then I like Shipsky's idea. But I really think it's a disservice to the city to do that. I mean, there's just too many things, too many issues, too many problems to deal with. Reducing that is just
And another thing was brought up is it's not necessarily that they were reducing the number of meetings that they'll be having because they could still do things throughout the week on non-city council days. What they're actually eliminating is the opportunity for citizen
public
input.
Forum.
Yeah, and so that's the bigger issue.
Really against
yeah.
that. Yeah, no, that sounds to me like a bad idea.
It's a terrible idea.
Well, I hope Shipsky's idea works because if she gets that on the ballot, that'll just go away. You know, they're not going to go and reduce their pay.
Well, that's the thing they talked about, and that's supposedly. I didn't go to the meeting last night. And I don't know what went on regarding that, but I think it was supposed to be an agenda item for the next meeting. And they're encouraging people to show up and speak.
Yeah.
What you think about with that?
Hmm.
And we got that. We got a couple other things. You know, it's time for our first break. We're gonna go to a break, and we'll be right back. You listen to Swoops for All Radio on BlogTalkRadio.com here every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock. And you have a Swoop, Peter, and we got that'll be food review with us tonight. Gonna let you know about a couple of our friends here in Swoop's World.
On this week's Friends of Swoop's World segment, we spotlight two local businesses, Alfred's English Gardens and Richco Gates. Kathy Alford of Alfred's English Gardens was recently chosen by the City of Long Beach Water Department to help educate homeowners about alternative low-water garden options. Visit the website and click on eSmart Gardens for case studies and photo galleries of gorgeous gardens in Long Beach. Go to www.kathyalford.com. Richco Gates. Richco is a local builder that specializes in locally handcrafted outdoor woodwork built specifically for each client. Richco believes in doing a great job and having fun in the process. He builds gates in a variety of styles. Check out the photo gallery at richcogates.com for more information. If you'd like to become a friend of Swoop's World and have your business mentioned on our air, send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com. And back to our guests right after this.
And welcome back to Swoop's World on Blog Talk Radio. And you can follow us every day on Facebook and also on Twitter. And if you want to send us an email, swoopsworld@gmail.com. And like I said, we're here with LB Food Review, and that's lbfoodreview.com, correct?
That is correct.
That is correct. And, you know, there's a couple things happening, well, quite a few things happening in the city. And like I've said, if you want to join in the conversation, join us on the chat line or send us, give us a call at 917-889-7449. One of the other things that Chris just brought up is the LB Hope Program. Tell us about that, Chris.
Well, my friend Jerry Cimino is a realtor, and he got involved with this this program. If you remember, I mean, some people knew about it, some people didn't. A couple years back, we had a program which helped first-time home buyers buy property in the city of Long Beach,
right,
with a $200,000 silent second, in which that program was a little different because that program was a completely subsidized $200,000 second with zero interest. So it was only you had to hold the property for X amount of years. It had to be owner-occupied,
right,
blah, blah, blah. But that when you sold the house, you only owed on the second a portion or a percentage of the profits that you made on selling that property. This program's a little bit different. I'm not quite – I haven't read all the way through it yet, but it is another situation where – there is a fund that is giving silent seconds to first-time home buyers in the city of Long Beach to buy these foreclosed properties that are coming on the market. And, I mean, if you think about it, some of these houses are selling for $330,000, like in that range, okay? So imagine buying a house for $150,000, only having to make a house payment on a $150,000 home.
Right.
You could make substantially, like, somewhere around between an $800, $900 a month house payment on a 30-year loan because of this silent second. This is helping people buy homes. This is something that we need to do. This is another great program.
Now, who owns that second? The city?
The city owned the ones on the previous program. Mm-hmm. It was done through a grant from the government for, like, redevelopment funds.
Right.
This is done through another, you know, some kind of a hedge deal or something like that, but it's a separate organization, separate from the city, that joined with the city to make this program work.
And so people are getting, we're not getting in that situation where people are getting in the houses they can't afford, or
no,
down the road they're going to be foreclosed on again, right?
No, because from what I understand, it's a zero interest silent $200,000 second that only has to be paid back in the event of selling the property.
So yeah, so you have to, you definitely have to sell it for, well, you're only responsible for the first 100.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Right, whatever it is above the 200 grand.
Right, right.
Okay, all right. Yeah, it sounds like.
And I mean, people need $800 a month house payment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, people pay more than that for rent. So, you know, the great thing about it is that if you qualify, which you have to go through a certain amount of training and talking
to
programs about, you know, why is this helping you and how we expect you to use this to help yourself, not just to screw the establishment type of deal.
Right.
Right. But if you're a first-time home buyer and you need to get out there and buy a home, why rent if you can get involved in a program like this?
Now, who's funding this again?
I'm not sure. Like I said, I understand if individual lenders are able to make these loans.
Okay.
Like there's approved lenders. We're working with a lender. Jerry and I are going to start doing home tours in Long Beach for these foreclosed properties that are available for this funding.
Uh-huh.
And he's working with the guy that owns Loanplex Mortgage in Bellflower, but he's one of the approved lenders for this program.
Right.
So. Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, definitely. And if you're a first-time home buyer, it's definitely worth looking into. Just take the time to look into it, look at what your options are, and if you can get into something like that, that's a good move, definitely a good move.
LB Hope.
LB Hope.
Yeah.
All right, look it up, LB Hope. It's the LB Hope program. Check that out. Also, we're talking about things happening in the city. Last night at the city council meeting, they were talking about the weed tax. The proposal to tax the what do they call them?
Dispensaries.
Dispensaries. The medical marijuana dispensaries. And you know, everybody's got an opinion on that. It's funny. It's funny to hear some of the council people talk. I think one of them said it doesn't make sense to tax something that's illegal, but it's not illegal if it's been if you receive it at a dispensary. My opinion is, unless you're taxing Rite Aid and CVS and any other pharmacy for dispensing medicine, then there's no reason to take tax these guys.
There's no hydrocodone tax.
Well, this is
you know
who said it best. I think was when we were interviewing Val Lurch. He said, you know, what's the problem? I think it's Val Lurch. He said, what's the problem here? He's like, here we are. We're selling a product that people are selling a product that's technically still illegal. So is it, how do we treat it? Do we treat it as a drug that has medicinal value, in which case there's a whole process that you go through, or do we treat it like we treat alcohol, and then that's a whole different process? And right now we're in the in-between. And so I agree with you 100%. I mean, one or the other. It's either booze that you're selling or something similar to it, or it's medicine. And if it's medicine, Then why are we taxing?
And it's easy to make that decision because I don't need a doctor's prescription to head on down the corner market and buy
exactly.
beer.
Exactly. No, so I agree. I think
the other deal that we're looking at here is the fact that you're already, as screwed as we Californians are, we're already paying 9.25% sales tax.
New York City, and you
get that when you go to a dispensary. That, you know, if they tell you that they're going to sell you a $120 half ounce, then it's going to be $135. You know, because you are still paying, you know, sales tax and
$109.25. Either way, you're going to pay more than that $100.
Right.
Well, you know, it's interesting that they're arguing about this because I find that the city, and not just our city, any city, They're always looking for a revenue stream, you know. And one revenue stream they tried to do with these guys was charge them, you know, almost what do we figure out? Probably like $50,000 or just to apply or something.
Just
like
to apply.
Yeah, and non-refundable.
It was non-refundable. Yeah. So whether they got the license or not, they lost their. I think it was $15,000 or $18,000, whatever it was. Whatever the money was, we're talking tens of thousands.
Right.
And then whether they got the license or not, they lost that money. Right. And that. Again, that doesn't seem right.
Well, you can't have it every way. You know, they want to close them down, and that's fine. They want to close them down.
Right.
Then they say, well, we don't. We'll take your application fee, and
I promise you nothing.
And then if you get beyond the closing down part, and we've accepted you, now we want to tax the crap out of you for what is essentially deemed in this situation a medicine. So.
I mean, that's the only reason they're allowed to sell it, because it is a medicine.
Right.
That's the exemption.
What is the deal that we just had? The LB Post was posting new articles about it, like every other day, like about 8 months ago, that the city attorney was targeting these dispensaries that are all over the city, saying that they were no different than the drug dealer on the corner, accepting cash money, not getting taxed, blah, 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 blah. It's obvious the guy's got a vendetta against pot. The guy just doesn't like pot. I think that's what the real problem is. Like, let's just be honest here. The guy doesn't want people smoking weed. But, you know, people that decide that they're not going to drink don't go after liquor stores. Okay?
Right.
But I'm just saying, decide what you want to do. Keep it in your own backyard. I understand that people don't want their kids smoking weed and they don't want it out there. And I believe that, you know, we're looking at this November ballot thing where we might actually legalize marijuana in the state of California. Yeah, but people need to look at there's definitely going to be other ramifications, and the fact that we're going to be looking at minimum ages, like 21 years old to drink, you're going to have to be 21 years old to smoke weed. That's totally okay. People shouldn't be smoking weed in high school. You know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't be drinking in high school, you shouldn't be smoking pot in high school. But when you're an adult, you should be able to do whatever the hell you want to do.
Well, you know, I don't know if I go 100% with that, but on this specific issue here, we're talking about.
Sorry for the generalization.
we're talking about something that's been deemed medication, and you know what? I don't give a rat's ass about who says what. If my doctor tells me I need something, you know, and I got a prescription for it, I expect to be able to get it. You know, I might not be able to afford it. You know, it's going to 12 pills that cost you know, $180. But if that's what I need to get, then that's what I want to be able to get. And I don't want to expect to be getting, because my doctor prescribed me the generic brand of this, the city decides, well, we want to tax that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're not taxing any of the rest of the medication. We want to tax that. And for the people who need that and the people who get the prescriptions for that, they shouldn't be subject to anything different. I mean,
if you have a prescription for it, there also is the other issue of, if you have a prescription, the doctor says you need it, then your health insurance should pay for it. But health insurance isn't paying for anybody's sack.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
that's another battle needs to be fought. And that's a battle with the insurance companies. But, you know, the one thing here is, you know, we're talking about the city we live in and they're trying to make laws. And when you start targeting people and targeting specific businesses for certain things, it's just, if it's legal, you know, it's the same thing with when I was in L.A., you know, there's certain areas of the city that have a substantially larger number of strip clubs than other areas in the city. I understand that. If you live there, you don't want that in your city, I completely understand that. Or in your neighborhood, I completely understand that. But what happens is, if you're the business owner and you're trying to make a living, and you have a legal business, and you've gone through all the hoops that the city requires you to go through.
Those guys go through a lot of hoops.
And you get in there, you survive the first couple of years, you start to build a clientele, and then the tides turn on you, and then they say, well, we want to get rid of you, or we're going to come and get rid of that, zone you out. I got a problem with that, man. I really do. It bothers me when the government works that way. And it's like eminent domain and other things that I've complained about over the years. I just things like that. It's the wrong impression, and I don't think that's what cities are established. And that's, I don't think that's what we want our elected officials to spend their time on.
No,
I really don't. I want them to keep us safe and get us out of debt and do some decent things, but not on the backs of people who are trying to make a living with a legal business.
So. Be happy that they're collecting the sales tax because they don't get it from the drug dealer in the corner.
Yeah, you got that right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, is that. First of all, it's legalized in this instance. It's in a legal setting, right? Whatever.
Right.
There are certain things that have to happen. They have to have a prescription and that whole process. Those guys are paying business taxes. They're paying the phone company. They're paying electrical bills, which goes to the city, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're paying sales tax. So it's like, ultimately, and these guys are already, they're paying their fair share, just as any business should have to do and does, is required to do. If they're shirking that, if they're avoiding that, they're not – hit them hard. But they're not. It doesn't sound like it. It doesn't sound like that's the issue. The issue is these guys are paid up, and now somebody wants to go back to that well and take some more money. And, they should just be happy with what they're getting. Mm-hmm. And if they don't like it, I think the city should just zone it out. The city should say, we're not going to have these here. That's one whole another issue. I personally not for that. But, I mean, to say, well, come on in. And now we're going to keep hitting you up for money. That's like you were saying, is just wrong.
Yeah, and that's what this is.
Just say, you know what, we don't want them. That's a whole other issue.
Just don't continue to ask me to grease the wheels every time. You know what I mean? Because that's where it becomes a shady business.
It's a shakedown.
But
man,
the problem is the government. It's our city government being shady with legitimate business owners. Well,
yeah, no,
we liked you today, but tomorrow we might get a letter from Miss Jones that says, you know, you're selling. But whatever. And if you want to stay in business, give us another $20,000.
It's no different than Guido stopping by one day. Right?
Right. It's like walking
exactly.
It's like, hey, up or shut out.
It's extortion. Yeah, it is. And it's legalized extortion, which makes it really, really turns my stomach.
That's right, because then you have no recourse.
You really don't. You really don't.
And it's all about setting precedents, right? I mean, you let them do it with one thing, they're going to do it with another. And right now, this is enough of a controversial issue that a lot of people, they could get this passed because a lot of people just think it's a total bullshit deal.
Right.
Anyway, but the problem is that once you set the precedent that it's okay to extort money from small business owners,
mm-hmm.
it's just going to bleed through to everything else.
What's next? Fatty foods? I mean, come on.
Supplement companies?
Yeah, I'm working on that one right now. Yeah,
supplement companies?
Yeah. I, you know, it's just...
Prohibition just around the corner.
It's just it's one step away, man. One step away. Oh, gloom and doom, gloom and doom. Oh, what do you think about that? Did you guys, I don't know if you guys were involved in the arts and stuff like that. Peter and I have been for a long time, and we've been, I've been helping out on this Create Long Beach, which is creating a master plan for the arts and trying to get...
the social master plan that we talked about.
Yeah. And it's trying to establish, the, you know, getting things scheduled or recommended to the city that, you know, so some of the general fund covers some of the arts and cultural aspects of it. And they appointed a Blue Ribbon Committee yesterday. The mayor appointed a Blue Ribbon Committee, which is a funding committee. And, you know, the committee, in my understanding, is going to go out and seek out funding from funders to fund arts programs and help guide the city and things like that. And, you know, I was on a call with Antonio yesterday because he had some of us on there and some of the people from the board that are going to be on there. And it's a lot of names we all know. We already know. And you know, I talked to several people that you and I, Peter, have worked with in the past from other organizations and other arts organizations. And you know, it's interesting what some of the thoughts on the panel were. Everybody said, you know, these people come with good, you know, big credentials, and most people know who they are or who most of them are. And they, you know, they're well established in the community, but then some of the people had some other issues, whether or not there didn't appear to be any working artists as a part of the panel, which some people would have liked to have seen. And one of the other complaints that I got was they didn't think there was any youth on the panel, emerging people from the community.
Well, when I saw the the list, from my point of view, from what I could see, and I didn't know every person on there, so perhaps I'm mistaken here, but from what I could see, there was no artist on there. There was no, like, this person is an artist.
Right.
And if this whole thing's about the arts.
Well, it's about funding the arts.
And
as you know, the people on there are connected to the right people to seek out funding and know who to go to for funding. And so in that aspect... You know, it could be a home run, but the other aspect is it's art related. So
yeah, it does seem that, you know, I think there was six spots.
Oh, I think
six,
it's eight spots.
Yeah, you know, it seems like one of those spots. I mean, we've been to a number of different meetings where somebody said there's all these great artists here, and there's these people that are actually making a living as artists and blah blah blah, doing art, and you know, and there's the theater here, and there's the symphony here. Yeah, there's a lot of art in Long Beach. It seems to me that one of those positions could have definitely been filled by an artist who had some input. If you're going to get funds for the artist, if you're going to set up a program or something to evaluate how we're going to spend funds on the arts, it seems to me there should be an artist, at least one artist on there to kind of have some input. That is disconcerting that there wasn't at least one bona fide artist.
One thing that was a positive, though, during the conversation that Antonio was having with the group, one of the members of the panel, I believe her name is Michelle, attorney in the city and a member of the Arts Council, and she said it was going to be her position that she was going to seek out artists for input. So that's a big plus. You know, it's interesting because, like you said, you know, like we just said, as far as the funding aspect goes, I think a lot of those people are, you know, they're in the right spot. They're the right people for the job.
They're connected.
But I also thought, in some sense, it looks like a lot of the mayor, not necessarily this mayor's panels, but a lot of mayor's panels. You know, if you look at the police commission in the city of Long Beach, which is appointed by the mayor, you have the same. You have some. What do you call those? Builders or contractors or guys who build complexes and stuff. You have attorneys. You have people connected to many of the communities. And, you know, in the past, every once in a while, they'd have a retired police management type guy appointed, but that doesn't happen often. So I said, you know, in some instances, this panel doesn't look much different than that. And that's the bone of contention, because it's an arts-related panel. You would like
right.
to see an artist on there. So, you know, it'd be good. It'd be interesting to watch and see what they do. Like I said, the people we know on there, like Antonio's on that panel. I know Antonio works hard for the arts community and stuff like that. So I think it'd be interesting to see what they do, and hopefully they go forward and they achieve what they set out to achieve. So I think that's about enough of city council stuff for now. And
that's a lot
more than we ever talk about in the political
rambling
for the election, right? Bring to talk about food or something cool and get the beer and get that out there. And like I said, if you want to give us a call, it's 917-889-7449. You can reach us on the chat line. Chat line's open, and they're listening to Suits Row Radio on blogtalkradio.com.
Hey, Long Beach, you know that beat? And you know it's time for me to tell you about another friend of Soup's World. Well, I'm going to tell you about Ink Piece. Ink Piece sells environmentally responsible ink and toner cartridges for printers, fax machines, and copiers at prices from 30 to 70% below the major office stores. Owned and operated by our good friend Mark Hawkins. Mark's very active in the community. Local business located at 3636 Atlantic Avenue inside the Copy House. Check out the website, www.classroomrelief.com. What better time with a time around Earth Day to go out there and get yourself some environmentally responsible products? Check out Ink Peace, 3636 Atlantic Avenue, inside the Copy House. And back to our show right after this.
And welcome back to Suits World. And if you were listening Friday night when I was broadcasting from live from First Fridays at the Michelle Mangione event at the Mirage Mediterranean Grill, I keep wanting to call it the coffee house, the Mirage Mediterranean Grill, I interviewed Donna Santisi, who is this amazing photographer who has done a lot of photography from the 70s and the 80s, the new wave and the punk era, and she had a book out, and she's selling a book with a lot of her photography in there, and she's going to be doing a book signing at Book Soup, and Book Soup's in, I guess it's West Hollywood, it's on the Sunset Strip. She'll be going there August 12th. You need to check out her book. It's called go to her website, santisiphotography.com. She's got photos and she's great stories, and you get a chance, you can go back and listen to that interview from last Friday at First Fridays, the July 1st Fridays. She's got some amazing stories. I mean, she saw Janis Joplin 12 times, friends with Joan Jett and Chrissy Hynde. She's got photos of Iggy Pop, Frank Zappa, Prince, that's Lenny Kravitz, Joni Mitchell, just tons of people and tons of stories. And she actually got to meet a lot of these people and become friends with them. So if you get a chance to check that out, go to fantasyphotography.com, check out her website, buy the book. It's amazing. I was happy and lucky enough to get an autographed copy, which I'm very happy to have, and been going through, and some really cool things in there, and pictures of the Ramones and things like that. It takes me back a few years, but if you get another opportunity, go down to Book Soup August 12th and check out the book signing and meet Donna and get to know her. She's really cool. What's been happening with LB Food Review, guys?
Well,
I do have a review outside of Long Beach, but
like we always say, you know, the Long Beach area is bigger than just our city. I mean, you know, all these small little cities around us, Lakewood and everything else, you know, all their restaurants are included too.
Okay,
you know, I mean, it's supporting, like we've talked about, local business and you know, everybody, you know, I mean, there's a lot of good restaurants that are just right on the other side of our borders. But anyway, Uncle Bud's great little. You said you were going to check it out.
I haven't a chance to check it out yet.
Taylor and I actually went back there again this morning, and I wrote the review, so Taylor can tell you more about what he thought about the breakfast this morning.
Well, Uncle Bud's is just slightly smaller than our studio here.
Which isn't large. I guess anybody had any doubt.
Page 5.
Yeah. They've got probably 7 stools at the counter and then a table that says reserved.
Cool.
It's really kind of a neat little place. It's a mother and daughter that work in there most of the time. And they've got just a bunch of good old down-home greasy breakfast food.
Where's this located?
Right, so you're saying
it's on Clark Avenue up in Bellflower. So it's north.
Right next to Sims Park.
Yeah, yeah. Sims Park there on Clark in Bellflower. And it's only open from 5:30 in the morning to 11:30, I think. 11:30. They only do breakfast.
Take out or eat in. Either
cash only?
Cash only, absolutely.
Can I get some biscuits and gravy then?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. So it sounds like a biscuits and gravy kind of place.
The lady that owns it, her name's Gay, and she has the Gay special on her menu. Yeah, I know, it just sounds like I had a hard time writing it. But the Gay special.
You're going to get in trouble, man.
It's her name, and it's just funny to write it, but, you know, it is what it is. And she makes Gay special, which is biscuits and gravy with scrambled eggs on top with cheese. Oh my God, it is so good. A sausage patty, hand-pressed sausage patty with a bunch of Tabasco. It's really hot. Oh, it's really good.
Yeah, I've taken your omelet's got at least 3 eggs in them.
Big. Taylor had one this morning, and it was 8-9 inches long. It was a big
3-egg omelet with some mushrooms and other goodies inside.
Yeah.
It's a tasty treat.
It's the same people that eat breakfast in there every morning.
Yeah.
Last time I ate breakfast at 8 o'clock, it was the same 3 guys.
Where you been?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's literally like sitting down at your grandma's kitchen table and getting asked, what the hell have you been up to?
It might be good to bring a megaphone the next time we go in there and eat, because I think some of the guys forgot the batteries in their hearing.
I think they got coffee coming off of a percolator pot, right?
Oh, the coffee was delicious. Yeah, it's strong.
Oh, I got to check this place out.
Smells great.
Yeah.
Everything's good. In other things, I went to Cabo San Lucas.
You did, and you're still alive.
I am still alive. I came back, but I went to Little America.
All the green went away.
This place, we stayed at the Riu Resort. It was like $1,000 a person, but it was for 5 days, included airfare, all of our food, all of our booze,
Whoa. All
of our everything for a grand person.
They must have lost money.
Yeah, in the hotel room, they even had the shot dispensers where the bottles are upside down, the shot dispensers. Yeah. You could just take as many shots as you wanted. I mean, it was an alcoholic's paradise. I mean, it was amazing, and the building was beautiful. The weather was great. That's a great place down there.
Good.
But we ate a lot of fried buffet food, not much to talk about. But the street meat was better than anything I had the entire time I was
really?
There. Yeah, some really good pastor tacos and you know, good refried beans with real lard in them, and you know, that's good stuff.
You know, there's something that you said about street food in any country. You know, I had, you know, Mexico, and when I was in Japan, that's a little would be considered street food. I've never been to like places where it's like, you know, caterpillars and scorpions and stuff like that. But
my brother went
stuff that I can recognize.
My younger brother went and spent 6 weeks in Southeast Asia, Cambodia, Thailand, Laos, and he said there's crazy shit on the street.
Yeah,
and just like scorpions and bird's heads.
Oh man,
just weird shit.
Just go to Flickr, man, and then they put street food in there and look at the stuff that pops up in there.
When the Olympics were in China, all those pictures we got back, all the weird stuff that people were eating there, cockroaches on a stick, I mean, I don't know.
That's weird to us. You know, it's funny.
It's all from everybody. It's all from
I talk to, you know, you talk to Paul sometimes, you know, because a relative by ex-marriage, my kid's cousin, he's from the Philippines, and you know, he talks about stuff there, and he, this, that, and the other, and I go, oh, you like that? He goes, oh, no, I don't eat that.
We were just talking about balut.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. I'm like, whoa.
That's so much. Taylor and I had dinner tonight at Sophie's Is it Sophie's Pie in Cambodian?
Where's that?
PCH. It's between Redondo and Obispo on PCH.
Across the street from Big E's Pizza. Used to be a Chinese buffet, Taylor said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it was good.
Hey, a new place that opened up I just saw. Take my kids somewhere. Lakewood and Carson, you know that place that's next to the Sky Room, Skyfly?
Yeah.
Okay, it's kind of a Mexican place there?
Yeah, it's been a couple of different things.
Yeah. Santa Fe Depot, whatever it was.
It's in kind of
whatever it is.
Geodesic dome building.
Right. Yeah. Well, whatever it is, it's changed.
Okay.
So I throw out the challenge, go taste it.
We'll try.
I don't even remember. I drove by.
If we like it, we can go to the Thirsty Isle.
There you go. So I drove by and I was like, wow, that place, I wonder if it's any good. So I figure I need to tell you guys about it. I don't even remember what it was. But I think it is another variation of Mexican food, I think.
Sophie's was amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah, the food, everything was really fresh. Everything was delicious. We had frog legs.
Oh, huge. Oh! Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
You know where the donut tacos on a bistro?
Yeah.
Right.
I know exactly. It's got a weird front to it.
It's just a stucco building.
Okay, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
But
a huge restaurant.
Right.
But
I've never been in there.
This beef that had like a lemon ginger pepper sauce, and it came on lettuce and with onions and stuff, and then we got deep fried frog legs. And the meal was great. The service was super friendly and nice. And I think the best part was we got sticky rice with mango for dessert. It was really, really good.
That'll kill you.
How were the frog legs?
So sweet.
The frog legs were delicious.
Yeah?
The frog legs were
frog
delicious.
Legs.
It was like chicken wings.
I've had frog legs many a time.
These were like deep fried. It was like Popeye's chicken with it was like clumpy, breaded. Peppery, it was good.
Sounds good.
Yeah, okay. I'll put that on the list of things to do, places to go. Now you've been, you're headed downtown quite a bit for the Dodger game.
Uh-huh.
You ever go up a little early or leave a little late?
Yeah,
stop by Pink's.
Oh well, I wrote a review of Pink's. It's on my site.
I
love Pink's. We usually go after the game.
It's always open. So.
Yeah, it's always open. But we also go to Felipe's.
I like Felipe's.
I got tickets. I'm actually missing a Dodgers game tonight. I just missed a Dodgers game. Marlins just beat the Dodgers, but we're not going to talk about that. But anyhow, I'm going to the Cubs game on Sunday.
Cool.
And I think we're going to head up early. My dad went to med school at SC. He got his pharmacy degree there. And so he was at the County General Hospital,
probably.
So they used to go over to Manuel's Tipiac.
Oh, I like
and it. And Hero's Taco over there. Ciro's is amazing. The tacos are huge.
Huge, man.
So this Sunday, I'm going to Ciro's. I need tacos, and they give you that avocado salsa that's just these huge chunks of avocado. Oh,
it's been about 10 years with those.
I try to make it every couple of months. I try to stop in there. I get the Hall and Beth burrito at the
Yeah,
with the pork chunks.
Yeah.
Oh, delicious.
Now, have you ever been to a place called Howard's?
I have not.
You got to check this place out. It's a Chinese place, not Howard's. It's on Alvarado. And I have to get you the address. But
okay.
They make, first of all, you can't finish what you get.
Are you sure?
You're getting your money's worth, buddy.
Okay. You know who you're talking to.
And if you can't, and if you, on the few times you do finish it, you don't want to do anything else. You don't even want to waddle out to the car.
Who's coming?
And they, if you go get the shashu pork, and they always have these specials and stuff, but I get the Howard's chicken and the shashu pork combo, done for the week.
Nice.
Yeah, that's great. It's been there forever, and it's kind of like this. It's a little bit bigger than here, and it's a hangout for everybody. You see a bunch of cops there, you see a bunch of the postmen there, the neighborhood people there, and the same people have been running it for years. And
along those lines, I was at Tito's Tacos last week.
Tito's, yeah.
Another good one.
You gotta check out Ciro's, man. And
Ciro's is amazing.
Those are legendary down there.
The salsa is hot. Put your toilet paper in the freezer. Pink's is great.
I love Pink's.
If you've never been to Pink's, you gotta go. Who cares how long the line is? Just wait. Go through the experience. Eat a hot dog, pastrami, bacon, chili, cheese, and the cheese nacho sauce.
Everything you get, man. The bottled sodas. I got the bottle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love pinks. And my kids love it, too, because that's their treat, man. I treat them to pinks once from now. Every time we head down that way, we're going to go to pinks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're headed somewhere else for dinner.
Right.
Go for dessert? Yeah, maybe I'll stop my pinks on the way home.
One place that I did go in L.A., Man vs. Food did a thing here. It's called Orichon Ramen. And it's
that the hottest?
Yeah.
I saw that episode.
House.
Yeah, yeah.
And it goes from, like, 0 to 17, like, in hotness. And then you have the special number 1 and then the special number 2, which is, like, the hottest shit you've ever seen in your life. It comes in a bowl that's, like 12 inches round, right? And it's not to mention that it's steaming hot, like, temperature-wise when you get it. But my brother got this, and he's going to try to do this special number 2 Man vs. Food. It's bright red, and it's got these huge chilies floating all around it. He ate, like, half of the bowl and then ran to the bathroom and threw up. It was so damn hot, his throat was on fire.
No.
But,
that doesn't sound good.
But I didn't do that to myself, and I think I got, like a three-quarters of the way up the scale hotness and got miso broth and everything. This place is the shit. It is delicious. Big noodles, you get eggs, you get pork, you get all kinds of stuff in your ramen. It is really, really good. Check it out, Orichon Ramen.
I saw that episode with the Man vs. Food, and they were talking about how hot it was, and he took the challenge, man. But I don't need anything that hot. I like to taste it. I like spices.
Spicy's
like
good.
Yeah. I just gotta think, even if you win, you don't win.
Yeah.
I'm with you there. I'm good, but you should be able to taste your food the next day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you should be able to at least taste the other flavors in which you're eating, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man, did you guys find a barbecue spot yet?
No.
I'll give you one assignment, man. One bloody assignment.
You're gonna come back
with Redondo and 10th on me again, are you?
I'm gonna open another beer. That's what I'm gonna
Now I know Taylor knows a little spot because I ran into him there. I was a little disappointed because I didn't know it was just a beer bar.
But
we went to Riley's. We stopped in the Riley's.
And I do like the Riley's there on Anaheim more than the one down on 2nd Street. If anything, just because it's not as busy.
Yeah.
But I guess they used to be owned by the same guys, and they had a little falling out and decided to split in two.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
And, but the Riley's there on Anaheim, and I guess it's not quite Termino. But,
no, it's Park.
No, it's not Park. It's between
the X and Termino.
Yeah.
But they're beer only, but they do some good food. Their happy hour special.
I had just eaten, and she said, and we walked in there because I just wanted to get a, you know, little after dinner, you know, cocktail.
Beverage.
Yeah, and the bartender there said, hey, we're running a wing, some kind of special.
Pitcher and wings.
Pitcher and wings, yeah. And it's like, oh, I couldn't do a pitcher, and I can't find the vodka.
You need to go across the street and either about 100 feet that way to Iguana Kelly's or 200 yards the other way to the Liquid Lounge.
I've been to both.
Liquid Lounge is walking distance from our fraternity house.
Was it?
So every 21st birthday, we walked over there, and somebody, and the person whose birthday it was, had to down a Mexican flag, which I don't know what was in it, but it looked just like a Mexican flag. It was disgusting. And then I, being the jerk that I am, would always buy the person a double shot of Wild Turkey and make them hammer it in one swallow. And Taylor walked out the front door, yacked on the side of the building, walked back in and said, where's my beer?
I was surprised how big that place was on the inside, because it doesn't look that big from the outside.
The lounge?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not huge, but...
Don't you love it how when you look up, it's drywall sheets without anything on top of it? It's still got the drywall just... Writing, it's like rock wall. It says it right there.
Now, is last time we were talking about, you guys said the Green Dog was closed. Is it still closed?
I haven't been by in a little while now.
Yeah?
Because I was out of town, so I don't know. I got to check that.
The 49er Tavern is still closed, despite the fact that 3 months ago there was a sign that said in 3 weeks we'll be reopened.
And now the
letters up on the sign say under pressure. I'm really sad because I've had multiple people call me and say, hey, man, let's go to that bar by your house and go get one of those burgers, because those burgers are the shit. And I'm like, I have to tell him. With almost a tear in my eye.
Well, yeah, my roommate and I had to drive over to the Reno room to watch the Mexico-Argentina game, which, you know, so we got Coca-Rinos while we watched.
Any excuse to go to the Reno room.
Yeah, it was a good time, but, I mean, it was kind of dead in there because Mexico got...
You know what? See, Broadway Strip there, man. I used to live a couple blocks over. Hit the Reno Room, DJ Malloy, 3636. You know, that's like, and all within.
I love the Dirty 30.
Yeah, oh yeah, man. And it was, and you know what I used to like about that too is because the that's one of those places the bartenders remember you, they remember what you drink, and you can't even get in the door good. I'm already, you know, they got the pour going right when you walk in, you know. So, you know, you got to love it. Yeah.
Diane goes to the laundromat right by the 3636 so that she can booze while she's waiting for her laundry to be finished.
Who hasn't done that? I used to live right above the potholder, so it all worked out.
God, if I lived above the potholder, I'd be a hell of a lot fatter.
Not when you live above it, man. When they start, at about 5 in the morning, and see, my window was right above the back door to it. So about 5 in the morning, this big waft of chlorine bleach would come through the window because, you know, they're cleaning everything up. And then about 5:20, the radio would come on blaring and something I didn't understand. And then the cooking would start, and by that time I already fed up, but I just still went there on the weekends. It just couldn't be an everyday place for me. But it was cool. It was a cool place to live. It was a lot of fun, and it was walking distance to a lot of cool places.
My brother was in the Navy. I forget where he was at the time, but he used to go to a place called the Soap and Suds.
Mm-hmm.
You could do your laundry and order a beer at the same time in the same establishment.
Nice.
Now that's something that some entrepreneur, exactly, some entrepreneur here in Long Beach, I think, needs to come up with.
Yeah, I mean, I told you there's a place similar to that in Seattle, too.
Yeah, I think my brother was in, I want to say he was in Florida at the time.
Yeah.
But,
see?
You know?
You guys ever been to Gaffey Street Diner?
God,
yes.
I'm familiar.
It's San Pedro.
Yes. Guy Fieri went there. That's how I found out. I was on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And they have the best Egg Benedict I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Yeah, because you know how when you go places they give you the shit box little rounds of crappy ham on your Egg Benedict, right? That's not what they do there. What they do is they take a huge cut of ham, steak, and throw it across two English muffins. With homemade hollandaise sauce, perfectly poached eggs, a pound of potatoes. I mean, it is the best Egg Benedict I have ever had in my life, bar none.
Really? Yeah, I'll have to check that out. You're saying a lot, man. You're saying a lot.
I mean, I've eaten a lot of yolk and egg and lemon juice.
Yeah.
But this shit is righteous.
Some people can screw up with us.
Hollandaise sauce is easy to screw up, and it's easy to get sick off of.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to be careful what you eat it,
yeah.
Because, you know, what is it, Peter? I mean, you should know. It's as soon as it's like more than a couple hours old, it's like sour, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like mayo. You know, you're dealing with egg that's not cooked all the way through. Real mayo.
Right.
Not crap.
Right.
You're talking about eggs that's not, it's raw, essentially. It never reaches 160 degrees, which kills everything. So, you know, and you're whisking in everything, butter and lemon juice and all that. So, yeah, if you're dealing with eggs that are at all contaminated or some sort of cross-contamination, it's not like it ever got cooked to the point of degrees where it would have killed something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a certain trust you place.
Oh, my God. A certain trust you place in anything. Did you see that video?
Well, that's a bit more trust, because you're talking about raw egg.
Right,
I mean,
and sushi, too. I
sushi's
mean,
another
thing. You know,
and catfish.
Well, yeah, you're dumb about that.
You know, weren't we talking to you guys about the letters in front of restaurants?
Yeah,
we
had
a conversation about that.
Sure.
By the way, that sushi place in Bellflower is still open and still has a bee. And I would think that a bee for a sushi bar would be the kiss of death.
Some people like living on the edge, man.
It's almost like
but again,
need to go.
Well, that goes back to
for Bellflower.
Bee is for Bellflower.
Goes back to what I was saying, though. Why do they have a bee?
Right.
You know?
Their water could be 5 degrees too cold or something.
And then,
like that,
or too hot is the more likely thing. It, you know, one or the other.
Uh-huh.
It, not too hot, but it too. You're right. Too cold.
Uh-huh.
And it could also be that they left their if they leave their fish out to reach room temperature.
Mm-hmm. It's immediately, yeah.
Right, which when you eat sushi, I mean, sushi needs to be in a certain temperature, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have fish that's just like basically frozen, it's like
horrible.
1 degree above frozen,
right.
Then it tastes horrible. If they're bringing it up right up to that below room temperature, it's really not a danger unless it stays out there long enough. But a health inspector will give that, will definitely dock points. Now, is it because they left their fish sitting out on the porch, you know, in the sunlight? I want to know that. That's, again, goes back to what we're saying. So it may be totally legitimate stuff, and it may not be. That's the problem with the lettering system.
Well, the lettering still tells you there's a section of there. If they had to have corrective action, it still shows you what the corrective action that needs to be taken was.
Oh, something that I found out at Lions Club today. You guys ever been to Jazz Malady?
No.
It's a really, really, really good Thai restaurant. It's on Rose and Bellflower in Bellflower.
No.
Okay. The food is phenomenal, okay? And it is owned by the family now, but the gentleman that owned it was a jazz musician. Big supporter of the jazz program at Long Beach State. Always had the Long Beach State jazz program or a radio station playing in the restaurant. So he died of cancer this week. So RIP. You know, hopefully the restaurant lives on. Hopefully they're able to keep going. But our Lions Club does Lunch Bunch there once a month. So the food is phenomenal. Try it out if you get a chance. It's called Jazz Melody.
Wow, definitely check that out. On Rose and Bellflower, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to Soups Row Radio on Blog Talk Radio, and I'd like to tell you a couple things real quick. Don Morishige, who we've had on the show before, and owns Bi-Art Studios. What is it? Bi-Art Custom Framing Studios,
mm-hmm.
And it's over on 10th at Temple, and she's having another art show there for the month of July. And get on down there and check that out. Don's a good friend of the show. There's going to be an artist reception, and I'm going to get you that date here in just a minute. We're going to go to another quick break, and then we'll come back. I'll give you the information on Don's thing, and we'll be back right after this. Listen to Soups Room on blogtalkradio.com.
Hey, let me tell you about another friend of Soups World, the Long Beach Sunday Farmers Market in the Cal Heights area, located right there at Longfellow Elementary School at California Avenue and Bixby Road. You can't miss it. It only started in November of last year, and it's grown every week. Tons of vendors there, man. Fresh produce to die for. You got fresh produce, you got crafts, you got, music, coffee. You know, some of the people who have played there, you have Michelle Mangione's performed there, Robert John. If you haven't heard Robert John, you got to check him out. He's here quite a bit. Free cooking demonstrations by local chefs, crepes, you name it. And Swoop and Peter are there every week, teaching chefs and providing chess boards for free chess play. Tons of things to do. Playground for the kids so the parents can go out there and shop. Great place to go. Long Beach Sunday Farmers Market, Longfellow Elementary School, corner of California Avenue and Bixby Road. Hey gang, let me tell you about another good friend of Soups World. Bi Art Studios Custom Framing, 2828 East 10th Street at Temple. Bi Art Studios is owned and operated by the talented mixed media artist Don Morishige, who some of you may remember was a recent guest on our show. Bi Art Studios Custom Framing is a place to go to get all your custom framing needs met, and if you tell them Soups World sent you, you'll get a 10% discount on top of that. What else can you find at Bi Art Studios Custom Framing? Original works of art. Don just recently held a 12-member show there with 12 different artists showing all their original pieces of work. There's always original artwork there for you to see, for you to buy, for you to purchase, look at, feel, touch. Get on down to Don's shop, Buy Art Studios Custom Framing, 2828 East 10th Street. Got to give them a call, 562-856-9095. Tell them Swoops World sent you. Back to the show right after this.
Yeah, and Don's July show is up right now, and it's called Blend. And the artist reception for that is Saturday, July 24th from 2 to 7 p.m., so check that out. And I think you'll be happily surprised because Don throws a good opening, a nice crowd of people show up, and usually some really fantastic art and good wine, too. So go on down there and tell
us. She does a very nice show.
Yeah,
she's real. She gets some really good artists in there. So.
Yeah, and she's a magnificent artist herself, so check that out. And we got there's a couple things coming up. We got like about 25 minutes left tonight, but we'll go into some of them. Just so you know, within the next week or so, we can't talk about too much about it right now, but Swoops World is scheduled to have a special guest. An icon in the world of music and art, and we'll tell you more about that as that happens. And we're looking forward to that and working that out. And it should be we'll be able to make that announcement here in the next few days. So keep listening for that. I think you'll be happily surprised to hear who's going to be on the show and what they'll be promoting. And as far as other things go, Chris has got some words for about Swoops World and LB Food Review and what we got coming up shortly there. Chris, let the listeners know about that.
Well, we would like to announce that LB Food Review, Swoops World, and everything Long Beach are partnering together to become LB Flavor. Right, boys?
That's right.
And it's going to be all the news, food, and information and radio you need to know. Everything in Long Beach here. But the first thing that we're partnering up on here is we're going to support the local community gardens, and we're putting on a community garden dinner. And it's what is the date that that's going to be happening there?
July 31st.
July 31st.
And all proceeds will go be donated to a charity known as Garden of the Mind Project, and that is a non-profit that is doing good things over at
Luther Burbank Elementary School,
right there on 4th Street, right there on Retro Road. So we're looking forward to this.
What are they going to do there? Because it's important, right?
They're
not just going to them. They're going to do something with the money.
They are doing something with the money. They're doing a garden
for the school, right?
And the community. Yeah,
so this touches right to what the whole dinner's about.
We're going
to
be working with
the locally grown produce right here from the gardens in Long Beach, and that's going to feed the night, and the proceeds are going right back into the gardens of Long Beach. The Garden of the Mind Project, one of their big things is promoting this backyard fruits and vegetables initiative. They're going to try, they're not going to try, they're doing it. They are going to be helping people in the area get back into the dirt, get back into the soil, and, grow their own food to an extent. Obviously, we're in the city, but, it's part of the process, and we're going to get them back into it.
Yeah, and we're all looking forward to that. And keep your eyes open for the next few days. It'll be if you are a member of SwoopsWorld.com or Swoops Facebook page or LBFoodReview.com and all of our Twitters and everything, you'll be getting some information about how you can participate and how you can purchase a ticket for this event. And
we're going to have a very finite amount of tickets. So it's not because we want to, of course we want to make as much money as we can for the charity, but we can't trample too many people into one of the community gardens we have to preserve everybody's right, their patches and everything like that, and make sure that we don't ruin the property or anything.
Right.
But the point of the matter is that we need to get people to be aware of what we're doing in the city and the great social projects that we have going on, and that's what we're really all about here, supporting our city, supporting people in the city and making sure that we can lend a helping hand to the community.
And there is a surprising amount of growing that's going on, like, in the city.
Is that growing for the collectives or growing for...
I'm sure it's both, but in our case, we're just concerned with those who are growing
fruits and vegetables.
The other stuff, we're not really involved in yet. But yeah, there is a surprising amount of that going on. Backyard, community gardens.
You name it, man.
So there's some creative stuff going on there. I like the whole guerrilla gardening idea. People go out there and just take over the soil.
Yeah,
cool.
And it's good. And you know, we've all talked about it in the past. I mean, it's sitting right here. It's good to get back and get you, like you said, get in the dirt. It's cool to watch your stuff grow, and it's great to see my kids, you know, kind of get involved in some of that every once in a while. And it's good. It's good. And you know what? In a time when, you know, we're talking about, you know, they're talking about, you know, the economy and where it's at. You know, if you throw a few seeds in and you can pull some things out, that's one thing you don't have to buy at the store.
Yeah.
And you know where it came from. You know what pesticides are not on it.
Well, I'm thinking longer term for those who have kids, the great disconnect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the store, you buy everything wrapped in plastic or it's in some sort of plastic bag. Kids don't understand where all that stuff came from. And it's like when I was doing the community garden, my kids won't eat snap peas unless they've grown them. Like, because when it's grown, they're like, oh, my God, that's cool. And then they eat it. In the store, it's like something sitting in a box somewhere that they're just freaked out by. They don't see the connection there. When they planted the seed in the ground, saw the plant sprout up, dropped the you know, snap pea there.
Yeah.
We never brought any of those home.
No.
It was all free.
Never made it
home. Yeah.
Never made it home.
It's a part of that whole process.
And it's cool. And that's... You know, that's what you're going to be getting at this dinner we're putting on. It's going to be all fresh foods, locally sourced protein. We're pretty excited about it, and we're at crunch time because it's only 3 weeks away. But you'll be getting information on it real soon, and we hope you can participate. And like Taylor said, you know, numbers are going to be limited, but we hope everybody who wants to come has a chance to show up and enjoy.
And you know, the other part of it is that if you only hear us on the radio or only read our blog or whatever, come out, meet us. Let's find out who we're talking to, who's reading our site and stuff, or
absolutely,
listening to us on the radio. Let's shake hands. Let's put a personal touch to it.
Absolutely. Break bread, man.
Yeah,
break bread. You know, and the thing is just because we know this in advance, I can go ahead and say this. You know, the food be covered in your ticket and some soft drinks and stuff. But if you need to bring something else to pair with your meats or something like that, you have to bring that on your own, just because.
And feel free to do so.
Yeah, feel free to do so. And I think Chef Peter, who is a budding sommelier, will probably have some suggestions on what would work with probably the dinner meal planning. So
once we have a better idea of what our menu is going to be, which we will know probably in the next couple of days here, perhaps next week, next show, we'll be able to give a little hint as to where that will be going, and so what will be the best wine or beer pairing, because personally I think beer goes with everything. But you know, for those of you who don't agree, there might be some wine.
You know, they don't call this a wine gut.
That's a good point. There's only like 22 different varieties of wine, right? But there's something like 3,000 different varieties of beer. So,
you know what bothers me? The only thing that bothers me is that the guy that writes about beer's name is Michael Jackson. I don't know if it's
creepy. I know. That's like, creepy, isn't it?
Like, I don't know.
I avoided those books for the longest time. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, this is not right. But I will say that guy is a serious enthusiast,
oh,
and
yeah.
He's got some good. He's got some.
Now, I think that Michael Jackson used to be on the radio here on the talk radio station.
No, he's an English guy, I believe.
Yeah.
Have
a talk show.
You know, I don't know if I ever told
for years and years and years.
I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but from the ages of 18 to 21, I brewed beer. I worked for J.T. Schmidt.
Yeah, you said that.
And brewed beer at J.T. Schmidt's. It's across the street from the pond, I could tell it.
Uh-huh.
And then I also worked for the BJ's Corporation before they went super corporate and ruined themselves. But, you know, I mean, it was a blast. Like, brewing beer is a hell of a lot of fun.
Oh, totally.
It's an amazing amount of manual labor. I mean, I was strong as
shit. See this fridge here?
Yeah.
Well, you on the radio can't see this fridge here. But this fridge here?
It's a refrigerator.
Yeah.
A single door.
Before I had my second kid, there would be at least three or four, at any given time, three or four different home brews in there.
Oh, nice.
Totally different varieties depending on the season. That's what kids do to you.
Right.
So words of wise to you who not have kids, those are certain changes you'll have to make.
Right.
Well,
brewing,
you have kids.
Brewing beer is a lot of fun.
Oh, it's a blast.
It's a blast. You know, and just to let you know, J.T. Schmidt, their quality of beer is very my buddy Gil is still the head brewer there. Their IPA dry hopped with just pounds of wonderful hops, and the beer is phenomenal. Get into J.T. Schmidt's. Try that place out. Drink the beer.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
I know exactly where it's at. Yeah. Now, here's the thing that surprises me, Peter, because you really, really, really enjoyed brewing beer, which is, you know, somewhat scientific, which is what the exact reason you say you hate baking.
No. See, here's the thing is, you can make great beer from average products, average stuff, right? Wine is on the other end. Wine, beer is like cooking. This is the analogy I often make. Beer is like cooking, which I like to do. Wine is like baking.
Well, that's why it's called vintecology. I mean,
exactly.
It's hard.
If you have shitty stuff, whether it's butter or grape juice, your wine or your cake is going to suck. But you can make really good beer from really pedestrian products, just as you can make really good food from so-so ingredients.
Yeah.
And that's why I like the beer, because beer allows you to tinker. And if something doesn't go quite right, the temperature's just a little too high that day or that week, you'll probably still have decent beer. It may not be the beer you thought you were going to have, but it's still drinkable.
Right.
If you're making wine and the temperature changes a couple degrees or you don't have just the right tannic acid or what have you, you've got
vinegar.
You've got something you're going to throw down the sink. It's just not the same. Beer's fun to make. It's just fun to brew.
I have been educated.
A side note to beer, I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but there's a worldwide shortage of hops. Did you guys know this?
I did know that.
Shortage of hops, and a lot of microbreweries are having to scale back the amount of hops that they're putting into their IPAs and such because the costs, along with the, you know, supply and demand, the cost of hops went through the roof in the last 2 years.
Wow.
Absolutely through the roof.
That's just ain't right.
And you know, who knows why, but hops, the only cousin of the marijuana plant. That's why when you drink a good IPA, it's kind of like, but anyway.
How about those Dodgers?
Just for the record, anybody that may want to understand the correlation there's this great beer by Green Flash Brewery. I believe it's a San Diego company, and they have a beer.
You happen to think everything's a San Diego company.
I know. I'm often right, though. Whatever. Green Flash is the name of the company. If you want to see how Chris's last statement could possibly be true, they have a beer called Leafer Madness. And I swear to God, when you pour that beer, you're not sure what's going to happen. Now, for those who might be worried, I can assure you it's just a normal beer. In every other respect,
if you have to pee in a cup.
You won't. But if you smell that beer, you'll be like, yep, I can see how that could be true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
They sell this.
Scratch the poppy seed bagel defense.
Right. That's right.
Go with the Leafer Madness defense.
That's right. Good stuff, though. And I believe it's 7.5% alcohol. So make sure you got someone to share that bomber, because they only sell it usually in a bomber. Make sure you got someone to share that with, because otherwise you'll be.
Just don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere.
Why got to share?
That's the other thing. If you do come to the community garden and you do bring booze, please bring either a designated driver or enough money to pay for a cab.
Because we don't want anything.
We're doing this for charity, and we don't need it to show up on the LB Post that somebody left our event.
For the wrong reasons.
Right.
Absolutely.
So we wanted to show up the LB Post because we made a bunch of money for the charity.
Right. So please be safe if you're going to drink.
Be kind, rewind.
Yeah, kid.
Kids don't even know what that means anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to go to our last break, and we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Swoop's Royal Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Swoop Peter and Chris Livingston and Taylor Nelson of LB Food Review, and we'll be right back after this.
Hey, let me tell you about another friend of Swoop's World, the Long Beach Sunday Farmers Market in the Cal Heights area. Located right there at Longfellow Elementary School at California Avenue and Bixby Road. You can't miss it. It only started in November of last year, and it's grown every week. Tons of vendors there, man. Fresh produce to die for. You got fresh produce. You got crafts. You got, what do you got? Music. coffee. You know, some of the people who played there, you have Michelle Mangione's performed there, Robert John. If you haven't heard Robert John, you got to check him out. He's here quite a bit. Free cooking demonstrations by local chefs, crepes, you name it. And Swoop and Peter are there every week, teaching chess and providing chess boards for free chess play. Tons of things to do. Playground for the kids so the parents can go out there and shop. Great place to go. Long Beach Sunday Farmers Market, Longfellow Elementary School, corner of California Avenue and Bixby Road.
We're on a Blog Talk Radio. Hey, we're just having a good time here. Good time. Hey, guys, we were talking the other day, last time you guys were here, and I just about a place that I had been to, I think, that night or the day before, and I just went there for happy hour again tonight, and I still like it. I know it's a little pricey, but happy hour prices are good. Sip. And they started a new happy hour. It's called, it's a stupid name for the happy hour. It's called the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But what it is, it's the price of several items on the menu. Dollar item, a $2 item, a $3 item, $4 item, $5 item, $6 item. And I had these pork ribs, kind of like a honey mustard glaze, which didn't sound good, but it was pretty darn tasty. Some chicken wings, they were all right. But I had two of those Manhattans, which are $4 off at happy hour price.
Oh, Coach, think about what you just said. A happy hour drink that's $4 off.
Because if you do what they charge for it regularly, it sounds like a whole lot of money off. No, but it was good. It was good. I'm digging that place, man. I really like it. I know we talked about it, and you're like, it's a little steep, and you can drop a yard there easily, but it's pretty cool, especially if you do the happy hour, which is only, I think it's Sunday through Thursdays. And like
it's like
and it's from
it's
4
like
to
Caddyshack,
7.
Right?
4 to 7. The
what's that one? Okay, so remember Caddyshack where the caddy times at the pool? 2:15 to.
Oh yeah.
2:15 to 2:30.
They're actually from 4 to 7. and like I said, you I get the menus on everythinglongbeach.com. But I think it's like $1. You can get some chips and $2 and fries. And goes up, you know, and then the wings and the tons of stuff. So it's not a huge amount of things, but there's quite a bit. And the beers and the wines and the well drinks are on special too. And it's just a nice place to kick back. And they validate the parking, so no charge for the parking. So it was cool. I enjoyed it.
I got a little twisted there when we went, and it was a good time.
But you dropped the bill.
Yeah, right? I mean, I dropped $120.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was expensive, but I got twisted. And then we went over to my buddy Armando's house, who, by the way, has a really cool apartment in one of the oldest buildings in Long Beach.
Which one?
Which building was it, Taylor? Taylor was with me too, but we were twisted, like I said. But you know what the best
was
part of the best part of the whole deal was? I'd never had pizza from Bono's before.
The place
that's right over there in Ocean.
Bono's good pizza.
And
goodbye.
And we got the meat, and more meat pizza. And let me tell you, that shit is delicious.
I like Bono's, and you know, it's just another hidden gem. And I'm not like a pizza pie expert, but all my buddies from the East Coast really love this place. And I think a good pie is Stefano's.
Where is that at?
It's Shoreline Village.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's, you know, like...
I just don't ever go down there.
Right around, like, if you're hit by the hat, near the hat store.
Yeah.
And they make a pretty good pie, yeah. Really, really good.
You know, the other place that's really good, and I wrote a review of it, Pizza Pie. Diane just got a pizza from there today.
I rode my bike right by there today. I still got to stop in there. It's right there on Broadway and across from Vons, right?
And they talk about how they
have a big hole in the ground.
fresh pastas every single day in that place, and it's and how good their pasta is. I haven't had it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
I'll check it out.
Yeah,
check
they do open mic nights there too.
Yeah, I saw that somewhere. I saw that somebody advertised that recently on Facebook or something like that. Are you an open mic guy?
I don't like necessarily like getting up on the open mic.
White rapper or something?
Yeah, I get up there in cowboy boots and see Snoop Dogg.
Have you heard that? Have you seen that? Have you seen somebody does that? What's the name of that band? I think it's a Canadian band. It does it. It's 20. It's pretty cool.
I don't know.
Actually pretty good.
My buddy Jared sings karaoke at this place called the Pineapple Hill in Tustin. And
most people who sing karaoke should not be getting.
And he rolls in there in a cowboy hat, you know, pearl mother pearl button up with the boots and everything, and then all of a sudden he'll drop into Snoop Dogg or drop into Dr. Dre, and he's just like up there pounding the boot. it is very, very funny. It is entertaining.
I'm gonna find you that way. there's a band that did it really well. They're just a bunch of old country boys, and that's the one they sing. You heard it? Yeah. I used to have it on my. My thing on my old computer before it got a virus for going to LimeWire. Stay away from LimeWire. Go to YouTube. hey, that's about it. Hey, we're wrapping this down. We got some stuff we got to cover without y'all, and it involves the dinner we're talking about. So we're gonna
LB flavor.
Yeah, LB flavor and things we got going on. So hey, thanks for listening to, here at Swoops World on BlogTalkRadio.com. We'll be back next Wednesday night at 9:00, and if not sooner, if something breaks on that thing that I can't mention right now because I'm sworn to secrecy. But it should be probably next week sometime. But anyway, well, thanks for listening to us. You can always follow us on Facebook. Fan us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Send us an email, swoopsworld@gmail.com. And anything else you guys got going on this week you want to talk about real quick before we get out of here?
No, I don't know. You know, we're just with you guys getting this this dinner planned and eating our way through life.
LBfoodreview.com. Check that out. You guys got in there Facebook and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
Go ahead and be a fan of them and check them out. And we will see you guys again next week. And thanks for listening, Long Beach. And we'll have a good night. Have a good weekend. Night, Long Beach.
Night, Swoop.
You're not open.